Father, just help us now as we turn to your word, as we come again to these now familiar words from Matthew 5 of the Beatitudes, those things that mark out what our attitude should be as we seek to serve you in this world. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Next week we'll look at blessed are the persecuted, which is the last in those Beatitudes. But today I just simply want to ask, who are the children of God? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Now, of course, Jesus is called the Son of God, isn't he? So in one sense, he is the supreme example of the child of God. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. Listen, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. We'll leave it at that point. He is the exact representation of the Father's being. There's a phrase in our language that we use sometimes, he's a chip off the old block. Yeah, he's a chip off the old block. That's when you see someone and you see traits in them that are perhaps similar to their father. I don't know how you feel about being recognised as someone else's son or daughter. I remember I worked for my father's business at one time as a sales rep, and there were a few shopkeepers that I visited who straight away said, "Oh, I know whose son you are." Because my dad used to go to the shops before me, so they said, "Yeah, you're a chip off the old block, aren't you?" But even more funny was when people didn't see it and made comments about the previous man who had who had visited them in the past, which was quite funny. People are continually looking, aren't they, in children for a family resemblance, for a likeness. People look at my children and they go, "Oh, you're just like your dad, or you're just like your mum," or "I can't see that you belong." Did you get that? It's a favourite pastime, isn't it, with all of us, looking for that family likeness. Here in Matthew 5 verse 9, God calls those who are truly his children. They are the children of God. And so I want to ask three questions of you this morning, whatever age you are. And here's the first question. Is there a family resemblance? Is there a family resemblance between you and your Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ? I think we can see the family resemblance in this photograph that is here. But is there something about us that resembles God? Now, I'm not asking whether you actually physically look like God. God the Father, after all, is a spirit being and is not limited to a human form. We are told expressly in the Bible not to make images of God, because God the Father is beyond our comprehension and human limitations. I'm not also asking, you know, if you physically look like Jesus Christ, whether you've grown a beard and got long hair, as is, you know, sometimes kind of say, oh, you know, I've got the Jesus image. There are images, aren't there, of Jesus portrayed in films and things, but we really don't know what he looked like at all. No, what I'm asking is, do you reflect the character of God? The God the Father, the character of Jesus the Son. Now, we cannot hope to be like God the Father in all aspects, because there are certain attributes of God which are his alone. He is unchangeable. We are not. We tend to fluctuate, don't we? Like the wind. God the Father is omnipresent. That means that he can be everywhere at the same time. Sadly, we can't. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He has complete knowledge of everything. Those things we cannot grasp or reflect. But in some senses, as Christians, as the children of God, we should reflect other of his attributes, which we kind of call the communicable attributes. To some extent, we should show his mercy, his love, his passion for holiness, and in the context of this verse, his desire for peace. All those things should be evident in us. We should have that characteristic if we are really the children of God. Jesus is the exact representation of his being. And in one sense, we can be completely like Jesus because he was perfect and we are not. But our lives should be modelled, shouldn't they, on the example of Jesus Christ. We should have characteristics of Christ. In Romans 8 and verse 28 and 29, we read this. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. We need to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. We can be counted as his brothers and sisters in Christ. This isn't automatic, is it? Because naturally, we reflect the character of our human father, Adam. We're a chick off the old block when it comes to our human nature. We have a tendency, a bias to sin, don't we? We have a nature that often is naturally opposed to holiness and what God wants. But we've seen in these Beatitudes a change can be brought about by Jesus. As we come to Jesus, we can be humbled by God. We can be brought to see our own sinfulness if we're willing to admit it. We can, in meekness, submit our life to Christ. We can hunger and thirst after righteousness. We are given the ability to reflect something of the character of God in mercy, in purity of heart, in the desire to share peace in the world. Is that you? Is that me? Do we reflect the likeness of God? As someone said, you know, if someone accused us of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict us? You know, if we really had to stand on trial for being a believer in Jesus Christ, as many people do across the world, as many people are persecuted for being Christians, would there be enough evidence for people to say, oh yes, he or she is definitely a follower of God. So, first of all, do you have a family resemblance? Is there a family likeness? Secondly, well, perhaps I should read this. For those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. The Spirit received you does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. If we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. Secondly, are you carrying on the family business? Are you carrying on the family business? Is there a likeness? Are you carrying on the family business? There used to be, when we lived in Somerset, a shop that was run by one of the members of the church. She became a very elderly lady, a Mrs. Dare. And she was known for the way that she ran her shop, and it all became too much, and she decided to step down from that, and actually for a time rented out the shop to someone outside of her family. And it just wasn't the same. It just wasn't Mrs. Dare's shop anymore, and you just didn't feel that same atmosphere when you went in there. Well, that went on for a little while, and then she decided, no, this wasn't working, and actually her family, her son and her grandson and that, they took over the shop again. There were a lot of changes, but instinctively you knew that the family were back in control of the shop. When Jesus was here on earth, he spoke about doing his Father's business, didn't he? He was here to do his Father's will. Indeed, he said as much, John 4:34. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. John 6:38-40. Jesus said, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. What was the family business? To share the hope of forgiveness. To share that anyone could come to Christ and belong to the family and to be part of that inheritance. In Mark 14, we read of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, agonizing over what he had to do, what he had to go through to be crucified for us, for the wrath of God to be brought on him. And yet he said, not what I will, but what you will. Father, I'm here to do your business. I'm here to serve you. And similarly, the hallmark of a child of God today, of a true believer, is that we are people who want to carry on the family business. Whatever the personal cost to us, personal preferences are laid to one side in a desire to be about God's business as a church. And what is this business we should be about? To bring the peace of God to bear in our world. To show people that true peace can only ever be achieved as people are reconciled to God, then they can be reconciled to each other. The family business is to go on sharing this good news of Jesus Christ. Because it is the answer, isn't it, for our world. And only the gospel breaks down racial and class and other distinctions. With God, there is only one church, one unity, one peace in Christ. something that no efforts by people in the world can ever fully achieve. So if we are the children of God, we are his ambassadors. We will be about this same work to break down barriers, to ease tensions, to seek reconciliation. Can I turn to Matthew 5 and verse 43-48? You have heard it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. We will be the children of God if we act in this unbiased way. If we grasp that we have to reach out to our enemies, that yes, they are lost and they're frustrating, but they're lost as we once were. We must love them. We must treat people indiscriminately. We must show the love of God without distinction. How good are we at doing that in practice? Are you carrying on the family business? Some of you maybe have been brought up in a Christian home. It may be the reason, actually, why you're here today. Might be the only reason you're here today, because you kind of feel, oh, you know, it's just something we've always done. Perhaps you've seen those Christian principles worked out in your parents' lives, their dedication to God. But at the moment, if you're honest, you're kind of saying, well, do I really want to be part of this family business? Because actually to live as a Christian seems to restrict my options in life. I'd rather go my own way and follow my own dreams. It's not cool to go to church anymore. God wants you to be about the family business. As you know, my father had a family business. He used to run a sheepskin and leather goods business. I worked for it for a time. And I can honestly say, having seen the hours he put in, the sacrifices he made, I never wanted to carry on the family business. It wasn't for me. But I did thankfully follow the faith that my father had. And in that sense, I've carried on the family business. Because I know that God was always number one for my dad. And I've never regretted following him in that. I know I am a child of God through his grace and mercy to me. And so I'm entitled to all the benefits of being a son of God. This is the family business that's worth carrying on, folks. This is the only hope for our world. Is there a family resemblance? Are you carrying on the family business? And thirdly, are you sure of your inheritance? Are you sure of your inheritance? Because one of the privileges of being a child of God is to receive an inheritance from him. Not that he's going to die, okay? But we are treated as those who receive all the benefits of sonship. You know, we notice the Beatitude actually says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. When somebody dies, their will is read out, and the names of those who will inherit are eventually read out. Now, naturally speaking, none of us deserve to inherit anything from God. But we're counted in through the death of Jesus on our behalf. Jesus took our punishment for our sins, if we believe in him, so that we can be adopted into the family. That we're brought in, if you like, to the will of God and the inheritance of God. My mum's mum and dad lived with an elderly gentleman as he lived out his last years. They kind of were in the house and my gran looked after him. And when he died, he very unexpectedly left them the house in his will, so that they have somewhere permanently to live. And it's a bit like that with God. God, in a wonderful way, counts us into an inheritance that we don't deserve. He gives to us the privilege to be sons and daughters of him. In Revelation, and this is where it gets a little bit hard, in Revelation it speaks of a day of judgment where it will be declared once and for all who are the children of God and who ultimately will be left out of the kingdom, which is hell in itself, to be cut off from God forever. Now, you might not like to face up to this judgment day, but the scripture is emphatic that it is going to happen. Revelation 20, and reading from verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. If your name's not in the book of life, then you're going to be cut off from God. But in that day, believers will be called the children of God. We will be acknowledged by God as his. We are owned by God. We are his sons and daughters. We will come into the full inheritance of being his children. And why? Because of anything we've done? No! Because of the mercy of Jesus Christ, who came and who died in our place, who took the punishment of our sin. And we are adopted as God's children and given all the benefits of that inheritance. Now, in our world, sometimes there are cases of mistaken identity, aren't there? My parents had some friends going back some years ago, and this couple had an uncanny resemblance to John and Norma Major. Just together, they looked like the pair. Now, if for British people, we probably go, "Oh, a bit like..." No, it's not them. But when they went on holiday to Spain, people in Spain were pointing at them and talking about them and believing that John and Norma dropped into town. This was quite funny. In this world, you know, it's easy to play a part of looking like we belong to Jesus Christ, to sometimes masquerade as something that we are not. But in that day, it will all be revealed. And God will make clear those that belong to him. And there will be no cases of mistaken identity. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to say, Lord Jesus Christ, without you I am nothing. I am a sinner who deserves the wrath and the judgment of God. But thank you, Jesus, that you came. That you, Jesus, I know you died for me, that I might be a child of God, have my sins forgiven, and be brought into that inheritance of God. In our world then, true sons of God will demonstrate through how we behave a family resemblance. True sons of God, surely we must be about the family business. So often we're about so much that we want to do, but we need to be, as a church, about our Father's business. That means our time, that means our energies, that means putting our all into it, that other people may know Jesus. And in that day, as it tells us in Matthew 13, if we are his children, we will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. What a day, what a prospect to look forward to be conformed, to be completely made perfect as Jesus is perfect. When Jesus was baptized, the Spirit of God descended on him in the form of a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." In that day, will Jesus say, "This is my son, this is my daughter, this is someone who loved me and turned to me in faith and has lived out their life to the glory of you, Father"? Will Jesus own us in that day? I pray that we will get that "well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, child of mine."